This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So, Allie was saying you never shot a gun before, but didn't you shoot a gun on Prison Break?
You know, that's the, if I had to boil it down, that's the critical difference between Michael Scofield and Chris Redfield. Chris can actually pull the trigger. Okay. Michael was never allowed to.
So he never actually pulled the trigger.
He pointed guns at people, but the powers that be felt as though for him to actually shoot another character, it would force him too far into the dark side. And the balance of good and evil on that show was pretty precarious to begin with. So
interesting. So you're under the spotlight this time. Last film, it was literally, Allie was slipping into the role of Claire Redfield, and all the fans immediately became critical. Is she right for the role? Is this?
Right.
And you're Chris Redfield, which fans have been looking for the last three films.
Right.
So how daunting is that for you to slip into this role? And tell us about your on-screen Chris versus the video game Chris.
It's a good question. A lot of different responses coming to mind. They say that ignorance is bliss,
all right.
And I think the good news is that I went into this very much a clean slate. I hadn't seen any of the movies, had never played the video games. I remember specifically the trailer for the third movie because of that great shot of, you know, Vegas buried in the sand dunes. I mean, that was pretty iconic. But I'd never heard the name Chris Redfield before.
Yeah.
I was quickly made aware that there was a rather large fan base out there for the movies and for the video games, and that this character held a special place in a lot of people's hearts and minds. So I wanted, of course, to proceed with respect.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing I didn't do is Google Chris Redfield, because I didn't just want to dive into, you know, the mass of what's out there. But I did Google his images and went to a lot of different fan sites and websites to see who Chris Redfield was, what images were popular and circulating. And I thought, wow, if what I'm seeing is an accurate representation, this guy is right out of, like, the WWF. I mean, his arms are like the size of tree trunks. I've got 4 weeks to prepare for this movie. That's not going to happen. And then I went to the video games. I had the powers that be spliced together a number of pivotal scenes, particularly from the first installment, and I thought, wait a minute, that's not quite the character that I'm seeing online. That Chris Redfield maybe is more accurately described as the before Chris Redfield. A little bit slimmer, but not only is there a physical difference there, but aside from being clearly heroic and someone who can handle his business, there's also something very sort of innocent about him as well. He's still kind of freshly scrubbed in a way. So I had the images I saw online, I had what I saw in the video games, and then of course I had Paul's script, which is, you know, Paul's the fountainhead as far as I'm concerned. And I have to honor his Chris Redfield, assume my place in this particular universe. And the Chris Redfield that he introduces is someone who has not only been through a lot of serious crap, but is now emerging from a particularly dire set of circumstances. So I had to figure out how to make all of these different influences work and marry that with what I bring as an actor to the table. It has to be, in a sense, at the end of the day, my Chris Redfield. At the same time, the fans very specifically had their say, because when I got an email from the wardrobe department, they're like, listen, we're trying to come up with Chris Redfield's gear, his sort of iconic look, and we're open to any suggestions. I said, well, here are these images I found online. You know, let's harvest from what's already there. So as far as what we came up with, it's very much, I think, representative of a lot of those online influences.
Yes. How close did you get to the arms like tree trunks?
Still working on it. I'll let you know Resident Evil 5.
So what is his iconic look, Ben? You talked about harvesting it. For people who haven't seen the game, what's your outfit look like?
It's, I guess this is the sort of thing I could probably tiptoe into.
Yeah.
Right? There's already been paparazzi shots of us walking back and forth across the street to set. he's got gray military fatigues, and we paid particular attention to his GAC, the knee pads, the belts, the sword, the back gear, the plate, the little flashlight on the belt that our props master geeks out over every time he sees. That's where we try to get as specific as possible.
Do you use sword training then? Sorry.
No sword training for this movie, unfortunately. Something to look forward to.
Have you heard about how popular this franchise is in Japan and in other areas?
Absolutely.
Well, can you? I mean, is it something that you're a little bit, you know, is it something that excites you about the franchise? And also, you mentioned the paparazzi already taking pictures. More and more movies, you know, set photos are leaking, like, you know, the minute they can find stuff. Is it something that you're made aware of? Or?
Well, it's something I was aware of. Thanks to my experience on Prison Break, which was a hit in the U.S., but a modest hit. Overseas, however, it became this kind of international phenomenon. At one point, we had 135 million Chinese fans downloading the show every single week, which is a mind-blowing number. And as far as we were concerned, we weren't just making Prison Break for a domestic audience. We were making it for an international audience. That's the new playing field, as far as we were concerned. So to be a part of something like Resident Evil, which is, you know, now it's been out there for about 10 years and has this amazing overseas fan base, felt a little bit, to me, like a really advantageous move, not just from the creative side, because Chris Redfield is a fantastic character and obviously, you know, a significant part of this really cool mythology, but it was also a way for me personally as an actor to keep sending my work out there to the broadest fan base possible, to continue to reach fans overseas that knew me from Prison Break, liked me from Prison Break, and were curious as to what I would do next.
Can you talk about some of the big, crazy type of stunts or fights or wire work or something that you've done for this film?
We are in the middle of putting together, as I'm sure you've seen, this incredible fight sequence at the end of the film. And one of the complications, I guess, that the 3D technology has brought to the table is that when you're watching through that medium, it's as though you can see around corners. So when you're trying to put together your fight choreography, if a hit doesn't land, the audience will be able to tell. So what I've been told in preparation for shooting my part of the sequence is that there may be moments where before they yell action, I have to actually put my face on Sean Roberts' fist, wait for them to yell action, and then react as though I've just been cracked in the jaw, which is a very different way of doing things for me, coming from a different kind of technology and TV specifically. So I'm looking forward to adding that to my tool belt.
What's Chris Redfield bring to the Resident Evil ensemble equation? What's his character? How is his character different than what other people have brought to the table in past films? What's his what's his purpose?
Well, I think that you know, obviously, a franchise like Resident Evil serves its purpose in terms of providing kick-ass, you know, chills, spills, and thrills. At the same time, if you haven't invested in the characters on screen, when they get picked off, it's like fireworks in the sky. It's sort of brilliant, but meaningless. And I think Chris and Claire together bring something particularly special and significant because they represent... Kim Coates, ladies and gentlemen. They represent, obviously, a familial bond, which is something that everyone in the audience can relate to and get and invest in. So, in and amongst the gunfights and the zombies and the madness, here are two characters with a clearly understandable and identifiable relationship that the audience can go, I know that, I understand that, and I'm rooting for these two on that level.
Cool.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Exactly.
Thanks, man.